Luke chapter 3.
I was just mentioning to the assembly each year that I found out this morning that I was the ultimate publican. Because the car wasn't here this morning, and I got so mad at Jeff and then later at John.
I don't understand why you got mad at them.
Because Jeff is supposed to check the club, make sure the club's on it.
So you thought it got stolen because he didn't make sure the club was
right.
Okay.
Yeah. And so anyway, but it's still publican. There's no justification for it. Forgive me.
So it got stolen anyway.
It was stolen by my Mr. Bojo.
Stolen by the repair shop.
Stolen by the Mustang Curl.
All right, chapter 3, verse 14. I hate object lessons and it proves me wrong. You seem to come pretty often, don't they?
Yes, you were hoping you weren't a publican.
I'd hoped I'd learned to repent of that before I did it, or at least before I made it public.
Before people found out.
Yeah, before I got caught. All right, we're studying the salt. When John the Baptist asked or told these soldiers what they should do to have eternal life, other than repent. And the soldiers likewise, in verse 14, the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." Now, again, when it says they demanded, it wasn't, they asked urgently. It wasn't like they're demanding a... Accuse falsely. Hey, Luke 14, verse 9. I mean, Luke 3, verse 9. I got 2 hours sleep last night, so forgive me. Luke 3, verse 14. Do violence to no man. Violence is not a word that means beating you up or killing. It's deaseo in Greek, and it means to make tremble, to terrify, to extort by fear or intimidation. And here's what Republicans were always guilty of doing.
We're talking about soldiers, though, right?
I mean, yeah, but excuse me, the soldiers were guilty of doing. Mm-hmm. They essentially intimidated the population so to get benefits because they didn't get a lot of money, and they were in the worst assignment for Rome that there was. Now, I think one of these soldiers that he's talking to here may have been the same soldier, the centurion that pushed the spear into Christ's side. So, and then the next word, accuse any falsely, it goes with violence. It's you accuse falsely to make false accusations, and it's the word sycophantio, is where we get the word sycophant. And let's look at a bunch of these, because it's really important that we see to accuse falsely.
Before we do that, can I ask a question, please? Is this violence here the same violence that scripture that...
The violent takes it.
Take it by force. I stumble over that every time I hear it. Is that the same deal?
Yeah, because... Well, let me ask you a favor. I'm going to remember, or try to remember... And I'll do a more thorough study in that in comparison, okay?
Okay.
Let's go to Luke 19 and see what he did there. Where this word sycophantio was used. Luke 19.
Okay.
And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way or by that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him to fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which is lost, or was lost. Now the word in verse 8, where he said, And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, is the same word, sycophantio. Okay? So this is what the soldiers did, in addition, also the publicans did it, where the publicans exacted too much and kept part for themselves. The soldiers browbeat the population in order to get good money. Okay, let's go back and see how it's used in the Old Testament. It's because it's important. Go to Genesis 43. This is when Joseph's brethren came to Egypt, and they thought he was dead. And though he was the second in line to the Pharaoh, he didn't let him know who he was. Okay, you remember? And so. Well, they went back, and now they're going the father, their father, and told them about this guy, and so then they're collecting stuff to take back to him as a gift. And then in verse 15, and the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, remember he wasn't there the first time. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, "Bring these men home, and slay and make ready for these men. And slay, and make ready for these men shall dine with me at noon." It didn't say slay the men; it slay the animal. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. And the men, Joseph's brethren, were afraid, because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, "Because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time, we are brought in, that he may seek occasion against us, and fall upon us, and take us for bondmen, and for asses." Now, let me look at one more verse. The bottom line is, they were afraid, and the word sycophant is used in that verse where because it's like they were false, they had falsely accused Joseph because they thought he was mad at them because the sacrifice wasn't enough. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, that's not a good one. Let's go to Leviticus 19. This is just, it's the laws of holiness and justice. And verse 10, and thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. And ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie to one another. To deal falsely is this word, sycophantio. Okay? Let's go to Job 35. And we're going to make the point here in a minute. This is where Job. No, see, this is where Elihu. You remember, he's the only good one of Job's friends. And Elihu spake, moreover, and said, "Thinkest thou this to be right, that thou saidest, my righteousness is more than God's? For thou saidest, what advantage will it be unto thee, and what profit shall I have, if I be cleansed from my sin? I will answer thee, and thy companions with thee." Oh, I'm sorry. "Look unto the heavens and see, and behold the clouds which are higher than thou. If thou sinnest, what doest thou against him? Or if thy transgressions be multiplied, and what doest thou unto him? If thou be righteous, what givest thou him? Or if thy what receiveth he of thine hand? Thy wickedness may hurt a man as thou art, and thy righteousness may profit the son of man." By reason, it's in the word wickedness there, is this false accusation. And he's berating them because they essentially accuse God by saying Job was dishonoring God. In other words, you see what he's saying? It's possible for a man to dishonor God. I mean, God doesn't need our honor. It's impossible for you to give him anything. He doesn't need anything. And so by saying to Job that he was breaking God's heart or some such thing, then they're dealing, what does it say? Oh, it's thy wickedness. All right? Let's go to Psalm 119. Verse 121, I have done judgment and justice, leave me not to mine oppressors. For surety, for thy servant for good, let not the proud oppress me. And again, the word oppress there is the same one, accuse me falsely. Two more, let's go to Proverbs 14. It's next book. Verse 30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth the poor hath mercy on the poor. Or the wicked, well anyway, in verse 31, he that oppresseth the poor, is that's the same thing. It's just, it's this incredible thing of what all of us do all the time. How do we oppress? Any of you ever oppress the poor?
Seems manipulate out of fear. You can say this, can't say that.
I remember that. I wrote a last word about it, but I was at Highland Park Cafeteria, the one up at Casa Linda, and I'd eaten there, and I'd come out, and this guy walked up to the door just as I was getting in and asked me for a dollar, and I just closed the door. And it hit me that that man, in God's eyes, was just as Jesus Christ. I don't have the right to judge whether or not he was going to use it for drugs. Obviously, he gave him a dollar. I don't have the right to judge whether he was going to use it for alcohol. I don't have the right even to judge that he's maybe a con man. And that's, it's hard to explain, but to me, that really hit me upside the head, that I was oppressing the poor and just being what's the guy that left the sick dying on the road to Jericho? I'm not thinking too clear this morning, remember?
The Levite or the priest.
Hmm?
One was the Levite and one was the priest.
Yeah, and they just let the guy, because they were afraid of robbers. Well, that's the same. It's oppressing the poor.
That's falsely accusing in your mind.
Yeah.
Making a judgment that you don't have to do.
Right, and it's what's so bad is that we are doing that as a national policy. We are oppressing the poor because we treat them as, you know, the government treats them as clients. And it just creates this sense of entitlement to the poor. It sounds contradictory, but it really does. And it's just crazy. Anyhow, I've said this before, but in the first century, the churches gave anywhere from 30 to 40% of what they took in to meet the needs of the poor in their community. Now, and we use the modern, I mean, we build buildings and edifices and jets and convince ourselves that we're doing God's work, but that really is oppressing the poor because we didn't leave the corners of the field or of the vineyard for the poor and the stranger spiritually. Amen? Anybody see that? Mr. Bojo?
I hear you.
Okay. Now let's go to Proverbs 22. The reason, that's why this word sycophantio is so important. That's translated, accuse any falsely in Luke. All right, Proverbs 22. Verse 12. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. The mouth of a strange woman is deep, is a deep pit. The mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. He that is abhorred by the Lord shall fall therein. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Nobody's dumb enough to give to the rich, are they? Yes, they are. Just think of our tax policy. Just as we're paying for the mansions and jet planes of Benny Hinn and Copeland and all these guys, we're paying for these tax breaks to the richest men in the world. And so by definition, we're giving to the rich as a society, and thereby oppressing the poor. I just don't know why. I mean, that's somebody else's business. Our business is to make sure we're not doing it here. Now, the word sycophant, you know, we in our language, a sycophant is a toady. You know, that he just says anything to please somebody. But it's the same word for accuse or to speak falsely. And it came, this whole idea came from a fig tree, believe it or not. And that many times they had to import figs, but if the fig crop was zero and if they weather permitted or they didn't have enough figs in Israel, they had to import the figs from Greece or elsewhere. And the guys that did the importing, they doubled or tripled or whatever, huge price increase when they sold them to the people in Israel. It was Israelis that did it, Jews that did it, but they imported the figs and they made this big profit. So what they were doing is, in essence, they were falsely accusing, because they gave the impression that that's what they paid for them. And then, you understand the concept? So that came to mean in our language, you know, a toady who's really a liar. He's falsely accusing or falsely praising. Amen? It's interesting to look that fig thing up. All right, now the biggie. We were not going to have time to do this. We'll go to Luke, back to Luke 3:14.
You don't often use that word, toady.
Well, I didn't. I mean, that was a common word in my world. Anyway, you know what I mean. You know what it means now, right?
I don't
know.
Isn't
it a rock group?
Huh?
It's a rock group.
Toadies.
What?
Toadies. They're a rock group. Some of them live right around the corner.
No, the toadies are the toadies are politicians, because they're speaking out of both sides of their mouth to get votes. The toadies sometimes are employees, because they act differently towards the employer than they do other people. The toadies are sometimes preachers, because they demand that. They're the reverse of toady, because they demand that kind of worship to themselves. I mean, it goes on and on.
No.
T-O-A-D-Y. But those are all sycophants.
Jerry's a busy man.
my life is ruined.
All right, one more word, and then we're not going to be able to finish it. But and be content with your wages. In whatever state you find yourself therein, be content. Now, we're about out of time, but it's the word, and this is a great word for what contentment means. It's the word archeo. And it's to know that one has sufficient resources, sufficient strength to handle anything at any time. To be content is to be without fear. And the only way you know that you have sufficient strength is to know that Christ is your life. Any other place, you will not be content if things don't go your way. And so contentment is this great word, to know that you have sufficient resources and strength and intelligence and whatever is necessary, whatever, to meet the need at any given moment. Isn't that a beautiful way of looking at contentment? And you don't get contentment if you don't feel that. The only response is to repent. There's no, if you try to satisfy whatever that, what you think you need, then you'll only make the pit for what goes in deeper. So you'll constantly want more and more and more. So the contentment, that's what it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen?
That's good.
And we'll study that, a lot more about that. Hey.
Hi.
But we are, Stacy has reminded us that I'm going to have some rollover minutes. All right, anybody have any comments about just that brief explanation of contentment? You always have enough. All right. Yeah. Take a big, huh?
You're confident that God is able and you're willing to wait and let him be able.
All right.